Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor-teacher, a gift given to me by God the Father for your benefit, a gift for evangelizing the unbelievers by preaching the gospel of his Son, and a gift for the building of a church filled with members of the body of Christ to provide them with a sanctuary in Satan's kingdom. Grace to you and peace from all the members of the triune Godhead and from their manifest member, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loves you and who gave himself up as a substitute for you. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Bible is his exact thinking. It is the absolute truth. It is without error and it is without contradiction. Why do we come together into a church to worship? We are here with those who are curious about God. We are here with those who believe in him. What is it that we seek? Our God says that we're here to grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 says, so then neither the one man who plants nor the one man who waters is anything. It is God who causes the growth. And that is everything. Even though I have a spiritual gift, and even though I am willing to use it on your behalf, we must never forget that it is God, not men, who cause all the things to work together for our good. It is God who causes our growth. Bible study is a time for the refreshment of renewing our thoughts. It is a time to reinvigorate our souls. It's a time to nourish our senses. It's a time to turn our bodies over to God as a living and holy sacrifice. It's time to allow God the Holy Spirit to lead us into all the truths of the Word of God so that we can learn how to be a reflection of our Savior's thoughts to a lost and dying world as we persevere in the study of the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the world. Don't listen to the broadcasts from KCOS. Instead, keep on being transformed by God in the renewing of your mind. And when that happens, you will prove what the will of God is. And the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Bible study encourages you to turn away from the world's viewpoint and to adopt God's viewpoint. Taking that viewpoint into the world rather than bringing that viewpoint here so that our influence is felt in the world. A tremendous and powerful influence. Welcome to the place where God the Holy Spirit prepares you to in humility receive the Word of God implanted, which is able to deliver your soul. Now, as God prepares you for the renewing of your mind, let's worship our Lord in song. The opening song is, What Held You on the Cross?
I'm getting to know you more. I've given you my life. You laid down your life for me, a death without a fight. You hung there on the cross. Your spiritual death set me free. The picture's clear. The Holy Spirit helped me to see. What was it that led you to that tree? What made you lay your body down to save a wretch like me? I know it's true. I know that you are fully God and fully man. You made it clear to me. You helped me. When you could have walked away, is what held you on the cross. You saw me, everything about me, you've always known. You knew my life would be in darkness, so you and you alone would come as the face of God in all humility. You said it is finished when you became a sin substitute for me.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Show us how to wow others with our faith. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and the Lord's Supper celebration is a picture of death and resurrection, the wow life. We're going to start, though, by doing the announcements. We're going to move the announcements back into the third lesson because evidently a lot of people aren't hearing the announcements, so we're going to make sure that they're contained within a lesson. So here are the announcements for today, October 13th, 2013. Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is November 10th, 2013, and that Lord's Supper celebration, that 65-minute celebration, will be conducted by Deacon Caleb Auburn. Where are you going to be?
Well, this sounds bad. Laughlin.
All right. So you're going to be gambling that day.
I wouldn't say it like that.
So Deacon Elliot will take your place, and you will do December. How's that? Is that good? That work out? All right. Probably should have asked you first, but, you know, I'd rather ask for forgiveness than permission. So there you go. Mark your calendars. No face-to-face Bible study December 8th, December 29th. And on December 8th, the deacons will put up lessons. The December 29th, we are off. Available free of charge from Barah Ministries. Video lessons, audio, well, formerly. Video lessons, audio lessons, pastor's notes, podcasts, and an app, Android standard, Apple standard, coming soon to a theater near you. Finally worked out some of the bugs with Apple, I think. Barah Ministries is on Pal Talk. Barah Ministries Sunday lessons are streaming live on Pal Talk. A replay of Barah Ministries lessons are on Pal Talk Monday to Friday at 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Soon to be switching over to Central Standard Time and a different configuration of lessons. Tuning into these lessons is easy to do. You go to www.paltalk.com, download the software, choose a nickname, sign into the Barah Ministries room, and listen. Now, the reason that that Pal Talk is being used is because it is designed to give you a standard time that you can always commit to hear lessons. I don't think it's enough to hear lessons once a week. I don't think it's enough to hear lessons on Sunday and then you go out into the world and you come back on Sunday. All right, so this is a good chance for you to hear the lesson again and to hear it in a community setting. And so I would suggest, just for your edification, that you just try it. Once this week, do that. Sign up, show up. And when you sign up and show up, sit there. Don't sign up, show up, and then walk around. Sign up, show up, sit there, focus, and see what you get out of the lesson the second time you hear it. It's amazing. So please try that out. And we're going to have more news about Pal Talk and other ways that we're going to get messages to you in a different form coming up very shortly. Our new home is the Hilton Chandler, 2929 West Fry Road in Chandler, Arizona. The phone number here is 480-899-7400. Check our website at barahministries.com for the latest on whether we're meeting or not, where we're meeting, what the meetings are. All the news will be on the front page of the website. Contributions, the direct payment authorization, if you'd like to make contributions through direct payment authorization, see Deacon Elliot Clark. We have been dropped from Blip TV. Evidently, they no longer wish to broadcast Christian churches, so we have Mark Pomeroy writing the code that will allow us to transition to another service, and Van and I think the deacons are working on getting us over there. So we should be over there by Tuesday, you said? Is that about right? Yeah, so sometime this week we should be over there, but until then we're audio only, and such is life. I hope that Blip TV does real well in whatever they're going to give their service to, and I hope that they don't think that this was going to stop us. One monkey don't stop no show, my mom used to say. They may slow it down for a minute. We appreciate what they did for us in the past, and we wish them the best of luck in the future. We will be dropping a lesson coming soon. The 7:45 a.m. lesson is on its way out. Okay. You're staying after school. You are going to, right now, you should go stand in the corner with gum on your nose. So the 7:45 lesson, a.m. lesson, may be on its way out. And it will be replaced by a lesson during the week. Now, there are two ways that we can do a lesson during the week. One way is called go to webinar. And it is a way that you can sign in on the internet. I think we're going to sign up for a license. It costs about $100 a month. If anybody would like to sponsor that $100 a month, we'd be more than willing to have the sponsorship. But that would allow me, no matter where I am in the world, to do a lesson, but you can have it during the middle of the week. And I think that'll be a lot of pressure off of us for you. You have convinced me that you do not have the concentration ability to listen for 3 straight hours. And therefore, we will spread this out. This will be a lot easier on me. What, you want to say something?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Start at 9 and go to 12:30.
Oh, I got you. No, see, there's this thing called football season. Now, I know, yeah, I know. Pastors should not want to watch football. I understand. But no, I mean, 3 hours really is a lot of, it's a lot. And based on the intensity level of the lessons, it really is a lot. So no problem with this. And if we can later move it to 1 and 1 and 1, we'll do that too. The only problem, I would like to do that now. The only problem is that with my travel schedule, it would have to be inconsistent. You know, I wouldn't be able to say, okay, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every Sunday. I would have to say, okay, this week it's Wednesday and Friday, and next week it's Monday. And so, but we're going to try this because you've asked for it. I'm willing to do it. All right, so coming soon, we'll drop that 7045 lesson. We'll give you a couple weeks notice on it, and then we'll do a Wednesday night or some other night during the week lesson on GoToWebinar, or we will play on Jenny and Van's Good Graces and do a live lesson over at East Valley Medical College, yeah? Yeah, so stay tuned. We'll figure it out and let you know. Is that good? All right. This is the only time your pastor will be listening to anything that you say. Okay. And then happy birthday to the Bobbsey twins, Amanda Alburn and Matt Maroney, coming up October 15th. Awesome. So Halloween costumes all around. Awesome. So that's it. Any announcements that I missed that you want to say? We've got that shoe drive, right? So did we get a lot of shoes? Awesome. And that'll extend to next week, too. So if you have any shoes you want to get rid of, please bring them here next Sunday. There will be a bin in the back. Please stop at CVS, get some Dr. Scholl's, and blow them out with the smelly foot thing. That would be cool. I'm just kidding about that part. Any other announcements that we missed? All right, great. Next on the docket. Is the offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Elliot Clark.
What are you laughing about? I think they're laughing about my socks. You can't really get it on video, but I forgot my dress socks today. So I'm wearing Nike Tube socks. So that's what I wanted to talk about in the offering, actually. I'm taking a donation for some black dress socks. Should any of you be so gracious. No, it's not a Porsche. It's a R8 Audi. I did not get it. That's actually one of the items on the list, though. So change up the financial policy a little bit. We're charging for everything. No. No, we are sanctioned by God to charge for the things that we provide here in order so that you can worship God, but we choose not to exercise that right. Therefore, no price appears on any of the materials here, and that allows anybody to receive the Word of God free of charge. Every week you hear 2 Corinthians 9:7. I'm sure most of you have it memorized by heart already, that each one of you should give just as you purpose in your heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, because God loves a what?
Cheerful
giver. Right. So I was thinking, I haven't really read the backstory behind that, so I was taking a look at it this week, and it was pretty funny. Since we're studying the Apostle Paul, it's Paul talking to his favorite church, the Corinthians. And I wanted to read through the first 9 verses so you can get some insight into kind of the sarcasm that Paul uses in this passage. He says in verse 1, "I really don't need to write to you, the Corinthian church, about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem." So he's asking them to give to the saints in Jerusalem. He says that, "For I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. It was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving." So here he is kind of boasting about the Corinthian church, because before he was boasting to the Corinthians about Macedonian believers, and now he's kind of doing the reverse effect. So whether they had a gift ready or not, you know, it's kind of like when somebody's bragging about you, about something that may not be true about you, and because they're bragging about it, it kind of stirs you up to actually be that or do that. Paul says, "But I'm sending these brothers to be sure that you really are ready, as I have been telling them, and that your money is all collected. I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you." So he's on his way to the Corinthian church right now, and he's sending Titus ahead of him to collect the money so that when he gets there, there will be money there. He says, "We would be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believers came with me and found that you weren't ready after all I had told them. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly." So it's pretty funny that he's bragging about them and how much they're going to give. And then he's sending someone to collect the money, but then he says, "But I want it to be what you purpose in your heart, not under compulsion." He says, "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each do as you purpose in your own heart. Don't give reluctantly or respond to pressure or give under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God will generously provide all your needs. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." So Paul kind of starts off with some playfulness or sarcasm, and then he finishes up saying that God's going to supply all your needs, and he will give back to you what you give. And I think here at Barah Ministries, we don't receive individual recognition for the gifts that we give, nor do we force you to tithe. And I also think that some of our gifts financially, we have a hard time seeing the fruit of those financial gifts. But that doesn't mean that they don't exist. You know, for example, the shoe drive. We brought up the shoe drive, and you're not going to get to see those shoes go on the feet of the people that they're going to, right? For us, it's an opportunity to clean out our closet so that we can run over to H&M or Nordstrom and get some more shoes and fill those spots. But for the people receiving those shoes, those are something that they're receiving that they couldn't supply for themselves. And we don't always get to see the fruit of that. So I wanted to thank you for bringing in shoes. As Pastor Rory said, we're going to be extending that to next week so that you have the opportunity to look in some other spare closets that you may have in your home and give the people that are not in the resident congregation to send their shoes via mail. Some other needs in the ministry, as Pastor said, that we got kicked off Blip TV, and that was a free hosting site. Now we have to go to a paid video hosting site, which is going to cost us, it's I think $50 a month, and if that doesn't suffice for the bandwidth and storage that we produce, because we do produce a lot of videos, then we're going to have to move up to one that's $100 a month. So that's another need. Also, need your contact information and your, we would like your email address and your phone number, because we're compiling kind of like a directory so that we all have the opportunity to interact or connect with one another should we have that need. And so please direct that information to Susie Goodall Embry, and or you can direct it to me and then I can pass it on to her. But that just allows us to send any prayer requests to one another and to edify each other. And I think we need each other's contact information in order to do so. And I will be sending some donations around to your mailing address for my socks and my car. So again, give as you purpose in your heart, and thanks for your donations.
Forever exalted and high.
welcome back. You know, I was thinking, even between lessons before I heard Deacon Elliott's excellent offering message, I was thinking that there should be a WOW ministry in Barah Ministries where you get to hear what some of the great things are that you're doing with your contributions. And you are doing some really cool things, but, you know, nobody's gathering that information so that it can be presented, and I don't have time to do that. But when you see books and Bibles and things like that back there, you did that. When you see CDs back there, you did that. And so those are some things that we should keep track of so that we can look and see that we do make a difference. And that we can remember those all the ways that we make a difference when we forget. So believe it or not, that's a ministry. I mean, a ministry would be, I always thought that, you know, I always feel sorry for June when she has to sing her songs from this, because it's obvious that June is not that strong in the clerical realm. Amen? I mean, it's kind of, you know, you saw her on one, I mean, somebody's, I mean, you feeling me on this? And so I know that there's somebody here that could turn this into, you know, she's got 30 songs of her own. And I know there's somebody here who could turn that into a really excellent manual, who cares about all the curly cues of the words and all that stuff. I know that's not me, but they could put that in a form. And there is a service that you can be part of that we're going to be putting our publications on, where if you guys wanted to go into that service and you wanted to send 15 copies of And You Will Be Saved, you can purchase those, have them shipped to you, and then give them out. Because for the most part, we're going to be an electronic ministry. You know, we're going to be a download. If you want And You Will Be Saved, you download it to your computer and then print it at home. But we'll have a service where you can get those things printed for a small amount of money and then hand them out. So one of your ministries could be, maybe you would say, you know, I'm really lousy at evangelism, but we have some publications that really get to people. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to that site, and I'm going to ask them to send me about 20 books, and I'm going to give them to 20 friends. And then you will have evangelized to 20 people, and maybe one of those books would bring a family to Barah Ministries to worship with us. So there are a lot of things that will be coming that will enable you to do the things that you want to do in your ministry. And, you know, we need people to help with things like that. So there's never a shortage of ideas, especially not in my head, but there's a real shortage of execution. For example, when we do June's CDs, we get 1,000 of them. Right now, not that many people, you know, I'm always reminded by my young deacon group that CDs, oh yeah, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, people used CDs, right? And so we have the CDs. We'd like to get them out to people. We don't want to store CDs. We want to get them out to people. It's not that expensive. They're not that expensive. They're a buck a piece, less than a buck a piece. But we'd like to not store them. We'd like to have them in people's hands so that they would be attractive, the people that people would be attracted by the music to the ministry. And, you know, a ministry can be us getting those into people's hands. We have business cards. Nobody wants to sit a bunch of business cards around in a cabinet, but having those business cards in your hand and handing those out, that's a big deal. And these are ministries within your ministry. So don't think ministry is all that complicated. It doesn't have to be. The Lord's Supper celebration is next. It is a picture of death and resurrection, the WOW life. The Lord's Supper is a table of fellowship designed by God especially for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a reenactment of a portion of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Passover celebration. It is a gift to believers from the one who loves us unconditionally, the Lord Jesus Christ. He asks us to keep on doing this celebration in remembrance of him. And each time we celebrate, we are reminded of just how much the Lord loves us. So during the Lord's Supper celebration, we take a moment to look back as Christians. We take a look back at the cross. And when we look back at the cross, there's really only one thing that we can see, one thing that we can say about what we see. Wow. We see a number of truths every time we look back at this cross. When we look at the cross, we see the incomparable. We are forced to say, wow. No event in divine history compares to the cross. And without the cross, we creatures have no hope. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, in part says, the Lord Jesus Christ became a curse for us. Our incomparable Lord gave us an incomparable free gift, the gift of the resurrection life. And it started with his death on a cross. In God's plan, death precedes life. When we look at the cross, we see unconditional love. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater unconditional love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. The Lord has a no matter what love for you. And so the only thing that you can say when you know that in your soul is, wow, we are always totally acceptable to him. We are always welcome to come to him. When we look at the cross, we see sacrifice and suffering. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, he himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore our sins in his own body, in his true humanity, on the cross. Would you do that? Would you bear somebody's sins in your own body on the cross? So that we might die to the sovereignty of the sin nature, and so that we might live to the sphere of absolute righteousness. For by his stripes, by his wounds on the cross, you were healed. The Lord suffered on the cross so that we wouldn't have to die for our own sins. He lived the perfectly sacrificial life through suffering for us. And to this sacrifice, we can only say, wow. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis. Chapter 22. Genesis is the first book of the Bible, so it shouldn't be very hard to find. Turn to Genesis chapter 22. And we'll read together the first 19 verses. Genesis chapter 22. It says, now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. And said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son and took in his hand the fire and the knife, so that the two of them walked together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And Abraham said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you respect God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it will be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed, as many as the stars of heaven and the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. The Lord was causing Abraham to grow. Why? Because the Lord causes the growth. What did the Lord say to Abraham? "I want you to do something that makes no sense to you." You see how God works? He doesn't ask us to do realistic things. He asks us to do ridiculous things. He asks us to do things that make no sense to us whatsoever. Why does he do that? Because he says, "I want to know if you have faith in me. I want to know if you have faith in me." And then he says, "And if you have faith in me, it will accrue to you as blessing." That's what that story said. So after we enjoy the elements of the Lord's Supper, we will investigate the significance of this biblical passage for our lives. So following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work, the voluntary sacrifice that he made on the cross on our behalf, and we are grateful. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, "I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this. And as often as you do it for the purpose of remembering me.'" When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, that in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, representing his death on the cross, also after supper, and he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood through spiritual and physical death. Keep on doing this. And as often as you drink it, do it for the purpose of remembering me, because as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will keep on proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." We are to keep on proclaiming the Lord's death. That is a proclamation of faith, just as sure as we are to proclaim our faith throughout the whole world. When we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you remember the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, enjoy the bread, enjoy the cup, and as you do, we'll listen to the Lord's Supper song, "Give Thanks."
Given Jesus Christ. His Son, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Take a 5-minute break. Thank you. Welcome back. The Lord's Supper celebration, the picture of death and resurrection, the wow life. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, and we'll begin at verse 1. Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. Here's what it says. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham, and God said to him, Abraham. And he, Abraham, said, Here I am, Lord. What kind of test was the Lord giving to Abraham? You always hear people say that. I think the Lord has tested me. I think the Lord has tested me. All right, come on, Lord, you're not that important, right? Honestly, what do you mean by that is really the question. So what kind of test was the Lord giving to Abraham? It was a test of his faith. Exactly. How much faith did Abraham have in the Lord? The Lord doesn't just test the faith, though, of guys like Abraham. We see these things in the Bible and we think, oh, yeah, well, that was good for that guy. And it's written down in a story. But the Lord tests us, too. And what is he testing? He's testing our faith. Exactly. When he tests your faith in him, it illuminates the status of your heart and your faith through the function of your attitude. Let me repeat that. When he tests your faith in him, it illuminates the status of your heart, which is your mentality, and your faith through the function of your attitude. Here's the deal. Is the Lord confused about your faith? No. We're talking about an omniscient God who knows all the knowable. He does not have to test you about your faith because he already knows. He doesn't have to test you to find out for himself what your faith is because he already knows. So why does he test you? So you'll know. So you will know. And that, so when I say to you that faith is not passive, it's active, you understand that when you get a test of faith, it's to illuminate your faith to you. It's to illuminate your attitude to you. That's what he's doing here. So you have to conclude that the tests that the Lord gives you are to let you know where you stand. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. The Lord said to Abraham, take now your son, your only son. Isn't that a magnificent thing? Why would he say that? Take now your son, your only son. Why did he say that? That sound familiar at all? Yeah, what, does that sound familiar? Yeah, like John 3:16. God the Father loved the world so much that he gave the uniquely born one, his only son. Exactly. So the Lord said to Abraham, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Wow. That's a picture of death and resurrection. That's a picture of the wow life. Now, this request from God makes absolutely no sense to Abraham. But Abraham is obedient. He knows that if the Lord requests something, the outcome is going to be good. How does he know that? Faith, yeah. But see, here's the thing. Yeah, that's really easy for us to say. Yeah, yeah, it's faith. But no, this is his fourth test. One of the tests was he was sexually dead at 99 years old, and he had his sexual function restored. You're going to have confidence in a person when they've restored your sexual function at 99 years old. Amen? God took his barren wife, who had never been able to have a child, who had been mocked for 60 years, because in the Jewish community, if you don't have a kid, that's the equivalent of blasphemy. took this 60-year-old woman who was barren and gave her this kid, Isaac. There were four tests. This was the fourth test of four. So with the first three tests, it was easy for Abraham to have faith now. But this was his son. You see, if the Lord had come to me with this test, I would have been Ananias, right? You remember when the Lord asked Ananias to go and meet with Paul? Ananias said, dude, do you know who that guy is? I don't want to go meet with him. He kills Christians. He stood and watched Stephen get stoned to death and was sanctioning it. I don't want to talk to this guy. That's what I would have said. My sons, no. No, I'm not doing that. And I have faith in the Lord, but I would have said, no, I'm not doing that. But Abraham had faith. He knows that when the Lord requests something, the outcome is going to be good. Do you have that faith? Do you have the same faith that Abraham has? Do you know that when God commands it, the outcome is always good? Genesis 22:3. And by the way, not only when God commands it is it always good, but when the desires of your heart are there, what does he say about the desires of your heart? He's anxious to give you the desires of your heart. You think he's not? He wants to give you the desires of your heart. How often? How often? All right. Thank you. Genesis 22:3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him to go. By the way, Isaac is about 33 years old at the time. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? Christ died at 33. Yes, he did. And but it's funny, he's referred to in the passage as a lad. That makes the whole story sound so wonderful, doesn't it? Oh, Abraham took the little boy and tied him up and tried to set him on fire. It wasn't a little boy. This was a grown man. 33-year-old grown man. What a marvelous parallel. Genesis 22:4, on the third day of traveling, third day. What's the third day? Resurrection. Wow, this is a picture of death and resurrection. Wow. On the third day of traveling, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. I've seen this place with my own eyes. I was in Magdala. And the tour guide told us to look out into the distance, and I saw this mountain. And it was gorgeous, and that it's imprinted in my mind. And Magdala, you probably heard of Magdala, because there was a lady from Magdala named Mary, and we call her Mary Magdalene, but she's really Mary of Magdala. I can't wait to take you guys to Israel. This is either the exact place, and I believe it is, or very close to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. And on the third day, Isaac, who was doomed to death, would be spared by God the Father. On the third day, Isaac would be figuratively resurrected from the dead. Genesis 22:5. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I, Abraham, and the lad, Isaac, the 33-year-old, will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. What's the significant part of that verse? We will return to you. Faith. Before he even went up there, he knew that through faith that God was going to deliver him. We will worship and return to you. This is a demonstration of Abraham's faith. He fully expected God's deliverance in this manner. In this matter, Abraham simply did not believe that the Lord would give him a son after being sexually dead at 99 years old and then take the son away. And that is faith. How many times have you had it happen that God gives you something cool and the first thought that you have is, I just know, like that little kid in the room, I just know that I got all these cool toys and somebody's going to come and take them away. You remember the story I told you a couple of lessons ago about the pessimist kid? God's not like that. Abraham had faith. What is faith? Trust in God. Belief in God. Genesis 22:6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on the back of Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so the two of them walked on together. The burnt offering, by the way, symbolized the person of Christ. Genesis 22:7, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And Abraham said, here I am, my son. And Isaac said, behold, the fire and the wood. I get the fire and I get the wood, but where's the And the father said, see what had happened. Genesis 22:8, Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. See, this is a transaction between Abraham, the father, and Isaac, the son. See any parallels? A transaction between the father and the son? Someone is killing one of our children in the hallway. This was a transaction between Abraham, the father, and Isaac, the son. See any parallels here? It's just like the Lord's sacrifice on the cross was a transaction between the father and the son. You see, the father had to send his son to the cross to die for the sins of the world. But while the son was paying for the sins of the world, there was nothing the father could do except not let human beings see it. So he darkened the hill. In the middle of the day, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he darkened the hill. God the Father did just as Abraham said. He did indeed provide a lamb for the burnt offering. The lamb was without spot or blemish. It was the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who washes away the sins of the world. Abraham was being prophetic here. Genesis 22:9, and then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. You think Isaac had a clue right now? You think Isaac got the hit? Huh? No, he didn't. Dude said, he had faith in his father. No, he didn't. Hey, man, what you doing? What you trying to do? I know what wood is. I know what fire is. Why am I here? What'd you say about the room? I'll clean my room up when I get home. Yeah, there are some people who should be sacrificed for not cleaning their room. Amen? All right. Genesis 22:10, you know, when you have faith in God, what God has to say on a matter is enough. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. And the angel said, don't stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you respect the commands of your God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Any parallels there? God our Father did not withhold his only son. So the question is this. How does God know that you have faith? through omniscience for sure, because God knows all the knowable. But God knows you have faith by what you choose to do. God knows you have faith because your faith is manifest in your actions, by what is visible to everyone in your periphery. You have faith when people in your periphery know that you count on God for your direction and for your blessings. Abraham had faith. He was willing to sacrifice his only son. Genesis 22:13. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for the burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven, and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as much as the stars of the heavens and the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies." You've been in a place, I'm sure, where the sky was pitch black and you could see every star in the heavens. How many stars did you see? You've been to a beach, and you've seen a beach, and you've seen the sand on the seashore of the beach. How many grains of sand were there there? That's how many Jewish people have come to this earth, and there are still more to come. And because of Abraham's faith, they have been blessed and will continue to be blessed for all time. Genesis 22:18, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. They will bless the other nations as well." Why? "Because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. So in this passage, we witness Abraham's faithfulness, and we see the demonstration of his faith. Abraham's obedience to the Lord's request was instant. It was seen clearly in action. Abraham knew that the future of the Jewish race was built around Isaac, and he knew that God's plans would likely not include killing Isaac. Abraham trusted that the Lord would provide. Abraham trusted that the Lord would deliver him from a situation of death to wow. The Lord sees our needs, and the Lord meets our needs. We simply do our part by being active with our faith, by making bold requests of God, and he always responds. God's requests and God's tests defy logic most of the time. How much faith do you have in the Lord when he asks you to do something? Some or all? Let us follow the pattern of Abraham, faith. Let us not take the easy way out and live the lifestyle of unbelief. Abraham's faith makes us say, "Wow." Let others see our faith here at Barah Ministries in action and say, "Wow." Abraham was willing to follow the Lord, not sparing his own son, because he had faith in the Lord. Do you? The Lord Jesus Christ had faith in his Father, and the Father had faith in his Son. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says this: "God the Father, who did not spare his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but delivered him over for us all, how will he, God the Father, not also with the Lord Jesus Christ, in union with him, freely give us, believers in Christ, the all things?" He will. So I suggest that for us here at Barah Ministries, we wow people with our faith, so that they see us moving from little deaths to life in our Christian way of living. Closing song, "Oh Happy Day." okay. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for giving us every day as a happy day, because you are there for us and you bless us and you keep us and you train us with adversity and you push us and you shape us. And I pray that you help us to continue to step up to the challenge that you have given us to grow by means of grace and the knowledge of you, so that we might attain our highest and best that you had planned for us in eternity past. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.